later. Sorry. Okay, here we go. So, well, first a thought on bitachon. As there are a lot of sad stories happening, and people are getting sick and worse. So, I thought of the Nisan HaTokef. On Rosh Hashanah, we're all very much moved, and we're thinking on the Nisan HaTokef, Rosh Hashanah, Yichasevun, and we say, Mi Batzama, Mi Barash, Mi Maman Geifa. And certainly in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're all thinking what happened in the past year. But it's our job to, as things are happening, to remember the Nisan HaTokef. It wasn't just like one day a year we think about it. As things are happening, like things are happening now, we have to remember it was on Rosh Hashanah that it was Yichasevun Yichasemun. It wasn't, oh, because some Chinaman decided to eat a bat and get everyone else sick. Oh, that's why I'm sick. That's not what happened. What happened was on Rosh Hashanah, it was decided that some Chinaman is going to eat a bat and pass it around the world. So while we're wrapped up in our talis and kittel Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's very easy. Oh, right, Rosh Hashanah, Mima Mageifa. But as things are happening, it's also important to remember it was in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that it was decided. It wasn't some freak occurrence. Whoa, had I done this or had I done that differently? It's not true. You could have done whatever you wanted to do. But for Rosh Hashanah Yichasevun, Yom Tzom Kippur Yichasemun. I always thought that in Yoni Bitachon that crossed my mind today. As far as a thought on tefillah, on davening, in Shemona Esrei, in the added bracha, the 19th, it's right in the middle, but it was the 19th bracha, it's called the Berachas Hamidim, against the heretics. So it's interesting, there are four different types of people that are mentioned over there. We say Vlam Al Shinim, that's referring to the slanderers. Then we say B'kol HaRisha Kreg HaTovei, that's referring to the actual wickedness. B'kol Eivecha, your enemies. V'Hazedim, they're referring to those who do Averas on purpose. They are called, what are they called? The wanton sinners, okay? So we've mentioned three or four different people scenarios. And we end off, Shei V'Oivim Machni Hazedim. So we mentioned four. We mentioned the Lamalshinim, the slanderers, the Risha, the Zaydim, and the Oivecha. No, so and we end up with the two. We mentioned the Oivim and the Zaydim. But just Anshei Knesset Gedolah, when they wrote the Shemona Esrei, so it's a set script which we're supposed to say, and a lot of people like to say their own thing, which is fine. But we still at least should be saying the set script. But even within the set script, the Shemona Esrei, there's room for, you know, your own personal thoughts. So as I was saying, the set script, so I, Baruch Hashem, don't know many slanderers or have many enemies, but one thing that came to my mind, Aivecha, your enemy, it's not necessarily the guy with the sword and the knife coming up against you. Everyone could have their own personal enemies. And so like everyone, whether it's an addiction to alcohol or drugs, or whether it is a bug, a virus going around the world, that is our enemy. So we're diving to Hashem, protecting from all the wicked and the rest, and we also say, Aivecha, your enemies, what crosses my mind is your own personal enemy. And it may change by the day, it may change by the month. Right now, I believe the Klal Yisrael enemy and the world enemy is the same. And that's something which I have in mind or had in mind today, and maybe I'll have in mind tomorrow also, who knows. But that was something that crossed my mind, at least today, in davening. Okay, so that was a thought on bitachon and tefillah. And now let's get to work. So we have started from Bedikas Chametz, from the month of Nisan, and we have gotten all the way up to the last siman in Hilchos Pesach. The last siman in Hilchos Pesach is the actual halachas of the Yemei Sfiras Omer. Right, we spoke about yesterday the actual counting. And today we will hope to do the halakhas of the Sfiras HaOmer, the days. So it's interesting. A lot of people have a lot of different minhagim, mutter, asr, what you can do, what you can't do. But it's important to know where everything started and then how things progressed. Shulchan Aruch only mentions two things that are asr during the Yemei Sfira. The first thing that's asr is getting married. You're allowed to get engaged. but marriage is what's usher. And it also talks about getting a haircut, which is why I just got mine. It's usher to get haircuts, and it is usher to get married. Those are the only two things that the Shulchan Aruch say in is usher during Yemei Sfira. The Mishnah Berurah adds that if you need to make a Shechiyanu, you can make a Shechiyanu, which implies it's perhaps not the best thing to do. And he says, Ein roi laharvois b'simcha. Thank you, Yoni. Simen Tav Tzadik Gimel. Yes, we're starting Simen Tav Tzadik Gimel tonight. That is Yemei Sfira. So what the Mishnah Berurah is adding, which is where all the place can start adding and adding and adding, which is, besides the Isser of marriage and the Isser of haircuts, he adds in Simcha. That you shouldn't be marvis Simcha, shouldn't be doing more things for Simcha. He discusses dancing, and that's where we add on no live music, and perhaps not buying nice clothing, not buying a new house, and moving into a new house. But it all is a stems and grows out of the issue that Shulchan Aruch mentioned. So halakha l'maisa, we will definitely not be makel with haircuts and marriage, unless there is a hefsid, major loss of parnasa, etc. The other things, you have to know when to apply the iser. But definitely you want to minimize the simcha. And the reason is because the Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva were dying during this time period. So we definitely want to minimize it. So lamaisa, we stay away from music, whether it's live music or whether it is taped music. We stay away from buying new things that give you simcha. Now, if there's a sale that is a great deal, you're definitely allowed to buy it. We don't make Shechiyanu on many clothings. I don't make Shechiyanu almost on anything. So there is no real Isser to go ahead and buy clothing. If you need to wear clothing, you can wear the clothing. But the theme is to avoid during Yemei Sfira extra Simcha. Okay, so the letter of the law asks there's only two things. We extend it to Simcha. And as things come up, you should ask yourself, would you want to do this if you knew personally Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim that were dying? This is the time that we're mourning over them, this time that they died. So it's the time to minimize extra simcha. Okay, so that is Tav Tzadik Gimel, Aleph, and Beis. Now, when does Sfiras HaYomim start? When do these things start? So there are two minhagim that should be followed. No recorded music, because that also could bring to simcha. And that's something which we want to avoid. Letter of the law, probably it's mutter, but the place can definitely say to avoid live music and to avoid any taped music. If you play music for your parnasa, you want to teach someone for parnasa, that's okay. Because that's not for simcha purposes, that's for parnasa purposes. Now, there is a machlekes with when does Sfiras HaYomim start and end? Not the counting, but these halachas. So the first minhag is from Chol HaMoed, you can do anything you want, everyone agrees to. Right, when Yom Tov ends, the Isru Chag, until Lag BaOmer, that's the first minhag. During that time period, from Isru Chag to Lag BaOmer, it is Aser. Then digitalized and computerized music is also Aser. So we focus on, that's minhag number one. Minhag number two will allow anything until Rosh Chodesh, but then from Rosh Chodesh to 3 days before Shavuos, excluding Lag BaOmer, that's the other minhag, that you're not allowed to get haircuts or get married then. That's why you will find some people getting married up until Rosh Chodesh, which is fine. That's minhag number two. And these things you can change from year to year. You just can't change within the same year and say, okay, well, I keep this minhag and then I change to that one. That you can do. So you got to pick your minhag strategically for that year, which is either from the end of Pesach until Lag BaOmer, or from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos, more or less, without Lag BaOmer. Okay, that is Tav Tzadik Gimel. Now, I would like to now, we finished all Hilchos Pesach, to go more into Hilchos Yom Tov. You can make that decision. You need to make that decision. Yeah, make that decision. Anyway, like this. So now let's go to Hilchos Yom Tov. So Hilchos Yom Tov, we're going to be skipping over Hilchos Shavuos, which is really only one simon, not so much. Hilchos Yom Tov starts Tav Tzadik Hei and goes to the end of Chelek Hei Mishnah Berurah until Tav Kuf Chav Zayin, I believe. And We're not going to do all the simanim, but tonight I'll focus on more of the common shailas on Yantif. Maybe tomorrow we'll do a little bit more and then go into Chol HaMoed. As far as Yantif goes, Yantif and Shabbos are very similar. The major difference between Yantif and Shabbos is what's called Eichel Nefesh, things that are needed for eating purposes. Therefore, you have to cook food and prepare the food, etc. But there are many things that are Aser on Yantif. So we'll go like this. What's most practical is you're not allowed to strike a match. You're not allowed to do what's called mavir. You're not allowed to kindle a flame on Yantif. But you can transfer a flame. Therefore, you are allowed to cook. You're allowed to use fire to heat up food, to cook food. Initially, raw food, cook it up, no problem. But you're not allowed to ignite the flame. So therefore, you want to have an existing flame before Yantif starts. That can be done by leaving a burner on. That can be done by leaving a match on, or leaving a yahrzeit candle. That's how you light candles in Yantif, by transferring the flame. How do you transfer the flame? You can take a match. You can take a tissue. You can take something which is safe and transfer, which is fine. Just remember, you are not allowed to kindle a flame. You're also not allowed to extinguish a flame. And therefore, when you're finished with your match or whatever you transferred with, you have to put it down gently in a way that it will not extinguish as you put it down. Now, we will get to ovens and gas ranges in a second as well. So that is as far as the candles and things. Now, what is very practical is in your kitchen. So you left your burner on. Can you make it higher? Can you make it lower? So you're not allowed to turn it off. Making higher and lower, a lot of places can discuss many different areas. I'm going to be saying over what Rabbi Wiener told me I could say over. And as he tells people, which is, you are allowed to raise a flame. We're talking about a gas flame right now. A gas flame, you can raise it and lower it for the needs of the food. Not for the conservation of fire, but for the need of the food, you can raise it and lower it. And therefore, you have in mind, whatever you're doing, you don't want it to burn, you want to lower the flame. You want it to cook quicker, you can raise the flame. That's as far as a gas flame, making bigger and smaller. As far as turning it off, you're definitely not allowed to just turn the flame off. There is a machlekes if you can shut off the head gas valve of your house. Because the reason why it would be mutter is because that's not immediate. By me turning it off, it's just a grumma. It causes eventually, therefore some people will allow that. Some people will say it's a very bad idea. If you're stuck, it's something which you could rely on. That's as far as the gas, raising and lower. As far as the ovens go, every oven is different. I am not an electrician or an oven salesman, but you need to get to know your oven. If whatever action that you do in your oven, if it will create a new zerem, a new current, and make something ignite, that's not allowed. If it just doesn't ignite immediately, eventually things will ignite by themselves based on thermostat, that's okay. So you have to know your oven, what happens when you do this, what happens when you do that. So the light on the front perhaps is a symbol of that. I don't know. The light on the front is not the biggest deal because no one cares about that light as far as turning lights on or off. Just the issue is what is actually happening internally in your oven. If your oven is creating new currents, usser. If it's a continuing currents, mutter. Okay, more than that, I don't know. I happen not to leave my oven on because I don't know anything about my oven. But if you know your oven and you know electricity, that's the general rule of what's permitted and not permitted on Yantif. Now, one other very common thing, especially this year in America, will be taking showers. The three-day Yantif, it happens every once in a while, like very often. Are you allowed to shower on Yantif? So the Svardim are more lenient than the Ashkenazim. Svarim do allow. I want to cut the Shaila into two parts. Shaila one is it allowed? And Shaila two is how is it allowed? The Svarim will allow a full body shower. The Ashkenazim will not. Now, when we're talking shower, we're just talking about the actual washing. Schita, which means squeezing out hair, not hair, squeezing out water from your hair. That's us according to everybody. So if you're going through shower, however it's mutter, you're not allowed to squeeze your hair. You're not allowed to use bar soap. Those isurim don't become mutter because it's yantif. You're not allowed to use bar soap. You're not allowed to squeeze out your hair. You're not allowed to squeeze out the towel. But getting past those, as far as the actual washing, Svarim will allow a full body shower in Yantif, Ashkenazim will not. What do Ashkenazim allow? Definitely washing hands, definitely washing head. You can wash up to 49% of your body at one time, which means you can do half a hokey pokey. You can go ahead and stick your waist and up in, shower there, dry it off, take a break, come back in, do waist down. Figure out however your proportions are. But around 49% and less. You may have to do it in three shifts because I guess 49 and 49, that the remaining 2% you can wash differently. But the point is you're not allowed to wash majority of your body. So you wash part, dry it off, wash the other part. Now that is Ashkenazi Sephardi. As far as what water you're allowed to use gets into another big dilemma. You for sure are allowed to use cold water, no problem. As far as heated water, if you have solar-powered heated water, no problem. You can use that. If you have boiler, then it depends. Then we get into a machlekes, exactly what effect taking the water out of your system will have on your boiler. If it will ignite your boiler, that's a problem because you're not allowed to kindle flame on Shabbos. And therefore, you cannot ignite your boiler. So you have to get to know your boiler and your water system. What happens when you take water out? The fact that it will heat up itself 4 minutes later seems to be okay. The shaila is if it's more of an immediate ignition, that when I take out the hot water, the boiler starts bubbling up right away. Get to know your boiler, I don't know it. But that's the general rule as far as showering. So for sure, cold water, luke water, if you're desperate enough, you can go ahead and put cooked water that you had from the urn and put in your tub. You could do that. That water would just heat up before Yantif, no problem. Apartment buildings, I don't know how the heating system works. I don't know nothing about this. All I'm telling you, the general rule is that if you, by you taking hot water out, will be igniting it, good child, I don't know. If you will be igniting it, it's a problem. If you're not igniting it, it's not a problem. If you just don't know what happens, I'm not sure that's sufficient. The absence of knowledge doesn't necessarily make a mutter. If you could figure out how it works, then you probably have to. Okay, so that is as far as cooking and bathing. One other thing I'd like to mention in as far as Yantiv is the Erev Tavshilin. So this year, Americans will have to be making Erev Tavshilin. Don't forget. And I'm sure you'll be getting a lot of reminders on your phones and computers. But in general, it's a very simple thing. You take a matzah, you take an egg, you have your matzah, you have your egg, you open up your machzer. It's going to give you one little paragraph in the bracha to say. You say it. Okay? Then you have an Erev Tavshilin. You follow the rules. That will enable you to go ahead and cook from one day to another. Now, what does it mean one day to another? It does not mean this year, Erev Tavshilin will not allow you to cook from Thursday to Friday. Erev Tavshilin only allows you to cook from Friday to Shabbos. So here's the way this works. There's an Isser called Hachana. You're not allowed to do Hachana preparation from one day to the next on Yantif. Therefore, on Thursday, starting from Wednesday night until Thursday at Tzeitzah Chachavim, you are only allowed to do what Wednesday and Thursday needs, your first day of Yantiv needs. So even though you made an Erev Tavshilin, Josh, on Wednesday, you'll be making Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday during the daytime hours. That will not allow you to go ahead and do any prep from Wednesday, first day of Yantiv, to second day of Yantiv. Now that you're in the second day of Yantiv, you are allowed, the whole second day of Yantiv, starting from Thursday night, up until Shabbos, you are allowed to cook and prepare for second day Yantiv and for Shabbos as well. The lumdis is because that matzah and that egg that you set aside that for Shabbos. It's like you started cooking already. Therefore, do not eat that matzah and egg until Shabbos. Once Shabbos comes, you're allowed to eat that matzah and egg. If you eat that matzah and egg on Wednesday night or on Thursday or on Friday, you are done. You can no longer prepare for Shabbos. Okay. Now, what does preparing mean? You're not allowed to prepare from one day to the next, which obviously means no cooking. There is a big machlekes if you can take food out of your freezer on Thursday for Thursday night. Machlekes, some say yeah, and some say no. And therefore, you would want to think in advance And if there's something that you want out of your freezer by Thursday night, take it out before Yom Tov starts. Because if it is already Yom Tov, it's involved in a machlokes if you can even take stuff out of the freezer for the next day. But that's only from Wednesday to Thursday. But as long as you made your Erev Tav Shilin on Wednesday, you will be allowed on Friday to do whatever is needed for Shabbos. Okay, that is a loose kitzer of Hilchos Erev Tav Shilin. I will now move on to some riddles and some halacha. Tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we will do Hilchos Chol Hamoed. And since tomorrow there will be no riddles or shaylas because I won't be able to answer them because tomorrow is the last year and I don't want to keep you guys in suspense. So tonight I will do double riddles and I hope to answer both of them tomorrow. So as far as yesterday's riddles, the first one we asked, Barad is unique that the H and the Mayim, even though they're opposites, they work together. I asked, where else do we have that? And Josh Bowman, Shmuel Posner, my wife, and Rabbi Klein all chimed in with the correct answer, which is, I'm sure everyone else knew that as well, but in Asher Yatzar. In Asher Yatzar, we say the bracha maflila sos, it's a pella. Pella means a wonder. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that is a few pshat that he has, but one of them is it's referring to your guf and your neshama. Your guf is something which is very much megusha, very much worldly, your physical. Your neshama is very spiritual. These two things should not be able to coexist because how do you have spiritual and physical at the same moment? The Ramah says that's what a pella is. That's a wonder. You have these two opposites working hand in hand in synthesis, perhaps. That's the right word. Anyway, but they're working together and that's the pella. So we have the same idea that you have by Barad, Eish and Mayim. You also have in your body. I don't know about that. Symbiosis, maybe. Anyway, that you have in your body as well. As I told this over to people, I was also told, I definitely didn't think it come to my mind at all, but man and woman also are somewhat very opposite, and they also have to live together in whatever that word is. And anyway, that was an add-on. Something to think about. Anyway, so that is the riddle from yesterday. Then we had the Shaila. The Shaila was, the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. We had the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. What is that bracha? By Purim and by Chanukah, we make a bracha how Hashem made Nisim for us. So the Rishayim, I said the two other Rishayim ask, why by Pesach do we not say that bracha? We make a lot of brachas on Pesach. Well, we don't say Sha'asa Nisim Lavos Neinu Bayamim Mahim Ezman Azeh. Why do we not say that question? So some Rishayim answer is included in the bracha Goal Yisrael. Before the second cup of wine, we make a long bracha Goal Yisrael. In that, we are mentioning the Nisim that Hashem did for us. So some Yishayim want to say that that is the reason why we don't get a standalone bracha. The problem is, I mentioned yesterday, what about Sukkos? Sukkos also, we have Nisim. It's the same nace, actually, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And yet there is no bracha. There is no bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. Even if we dive in and we mention a lot of Nisim, but there's no special bracha. Why is there no special bracha? So the Rishayim, the Maril asks this question and says like this. He says, Pesach and Sukkos are different than Chanukah and Purim. He says, because Derabanan and Deraisa. The mitzvahs Deraisa, the Yom Deraisa, but for that we don't need to mention the bracha Sha'asa Nisim. The Rabbanan were only sacking the bracha Sha'asa Nisim by the mitzvahs Derabanan. That's how the Maril goes. There are other answers out there. It's a little bit more technical, but the question is beautiful. Why it is that we only have a Hanukkah Purim, not anywhere else. So I threw out there some possible ones. Think about it. Okay, as far as tonight. Okay, so I'm going to give you two riddles tonight. Riddle number, I hope to answer both of them tomorrow. Riddle number one, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the second day of Yom Tov, of Pesach, which would mean Thursday night, Friday, whether it's Yom Tov or whether it's Chol Hamoed, for Americans or Israeli, the Mishnah Berurah brings down you should be adding special food, have extra nice food, something special. Why? What is unique? What is special on the second day of Pesach? He does not say that by the second day of Sukkos or the second day of Shavuos or the third or fourth day of Pesach. Only by the second day of Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah says you should be adding something special, nice food. Why? That's riddle number one. Riddle number two is Dayenu. In the Dayenus, we mention a lot of different occurrences. A lot of things, how Hashem saved us here, took us there, gave us this, did this for that. There are many, many things that Hashem gave us. And all of them, we say, Dayenu. There was a moment of, even if we didn't get that, even if we didn't get the Torah, even if we didn't get into Eretz Yisrael, even if we didn't get, all of the Dayenus, there is something that we're saying, all of them, we say about them, and even if we didn't get it, it would have been enough. There's one occurrence, one event in Dayenus that we mention, and we don't say Dayenu. There's one thing that Hashem did for us that is mentioned in the Dayenu, yet we do not say Dayenu about it. We do not say, had Hashem not done that for us, it would have been enough. What is that one thing that is mentioned in the Dayenu, but does not get the, and had Hashem not done it, it would have been okay. Meaning it would not have been okay. What is that one and only one thing? Okay, those are two riddles. As far as Shilas, I'm going to give you a few Shilas in Sirius Aymer. It's going to be a total of four Shilas because, you know, double jeopardy. Today we're going to do four. Here's the way this goes. Shila number one, why do we not make a Shechiyanu in Sirius Aymer? We make a Shechiyanu on many, many mitzvahs. Why did the mitzvah Shechiyanu, a mitzvah in the mitzvah Sirius Aymer, not get the Shechiyanu? That's question number one. Question number two is the same way Americans and anyone not in Eretz Yisrael keeps 2 days of Yontif, because we don't know which day is which. How come there are not two separate counts of Sfiras Aymer? We don't know when the Aymer was brought. We don't know when Shavuos is, maybe. We don't know a lot of things. Why do we not count separate counts? Meaning, why is it that in Eretz Yisrael, on Thursday night, we're counting the first night of the Omer, and America also is counting the first night of the Omer, and when you come to Friday night, America is also counting the second night of the Omer, and Israel is counting the second night of the Omer. Why don't we have in America a double count? Meaning, the first night, Thursday night, count, this is the first night of the Omer, and Friday night, we should have two counts. This is either the second night of the Omer, or this is the first night of the Omer. Why do we not have this double count because of doubt, the same way they have 2 days of Yontif because of doubt? Okay, that is a second kasha on Sfiras Aymer. I have two other very powerful kashas. I got a phone call today from Rabbi Klein, and we discussed and fought over these questions. I'll put them out there, and I hope to answer them tomorrow. Question number three, at least for the night, is why is it that if we forget Yal Yavo, we mentioned yesterday, if you don't say Yal Yavo in any Shmon Esrei of Yontif HaLamayid, you have to repeat Shmon Esrei. If you forget Yal Yavo in any Shmon Esrei of Yontif HaLamayid, you have to repeat. Yet, if you forget Al Hanisim in any Shmon Esrei of Chanukah or Purim, there's no need to repeat. Why is that? And it's not enough to say Derabbanan, perhaps, because the second days of Yontif, on the last day of Yontif is Derabbanan, and we still don't, we still repeat for Yal Yavo. So why is it that Al Hanisim does not get repeated, the Shmona Esrei, if you forget, yet the Yal Yavo, you do have to repeat? That's, we'll call it question number three. Question number four, and the final question is, if you don't know if you said Yal Yavo, we say you for sure didn't. So much so, you have to go repeat Shmon Esrei. We don't know. I finished Shmon Esrei. I completely spaced out. I don't know if I said Yal Yavo. We say, you didn't say it. Okay, fine. And therefore, it's like, you for sure didn't say, go back and daven Shmon Esrei. Again, why do we not say the same thing as Sfiras Aymer? Meaning, let's say a day goes by, and then the next day I say, oh my gosh, I don't know if I counted the day before. I don't know. I'm a genuine suffix. There, what the halacha, as we said yesterday, that's a suffix, 50-50, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. And you could add on to the shittas that hold, you can count again even if you missed. And we say you can continue counting with a bracha. Meaning, Thursday, I don't know if I counted the first day. Sorry, it's Thursday, I didn't pay attention at all. Comes Friday, I say, hey, on Friday, I don't know what I did on Thursday. I don't know if I count on Thursday. The halacha is, That's a 50-50. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. You're allowed to continue counting on Friday with a bracha. Rabbi Klein wanted to know, a powerful question. Why is it that by Yalla the Yava we say, you for sure didn't say Yalla the Yava, go back and daven again? Yet, if you don't know if you said Yalla the Yava, if you don't know if you count Sfira, we say that maybe you did, maybe you didn't. It's a 50-50. And we use that to enable you to continue counting with the bracha. Okay, these are four, we'll call Lamdish Shailas. So tomorrow we'll do Hilchas Chol HaMoed and four, two riddles and four Lamdish Shailas. And I'll end up with a pshat in the Haggadah, which is actually a pshat in the, a pshat in Az Yashir. The psukim, Moshe, I'll get to you later. The psukim are like this. In Az Yashir, in Pasuk Chav Beis, the Pasuk says, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'sochayam b'yavasha. The Bnei Yisrael went to Sochayam in the middle of the river by Yavasha on dry land. Okay, seven psukim later, Pazachav Tes, it says Bnei Yisrael Holchu by Yavasha b'Sochayam. The Bnei Yisrael went by Yavasha on a dry land in the middle of the sea. Rav Moshe Feinstein asked on the psukim, why did it change? Both are the same scenario, which is we're in the middle of the sea on dry land. Yet, the first time it says that we are in the middle of the sea on dry land. And seven psukim later, describing the same event, it says, we are on dry land in the middle of the sea. This is a question Rav Moshe asked. So I believe what he said was like this, that there are many different periods in your life that the seas are raging, the world's going crazy around you, but you're protected, you're okay, you're in dry land. The question is, what are you feeling at the moment? Do you feel that you are besochayam? You're like, whoa, you're getting washed away. You're shaken by the waves. Yet, you're protected. I have my little spot of protection of dry land in the middle of the raging fire. But I'm like raging. Things are wild around me, but I'm safe. Or no, there are things raging, but you are by Yavasha. How do you look? Am I on dry land? And there's stuff around me or not? The first pasuk was mentioning that Bnei Yisrael were in the Yam. They felt the Yam. They were feeling the raging waters around them, but Hashem protected them. The second time it's mentioning they were much more ragua, much more at ease. They were by Yabasha. Where was that Yabasha? B'sochayam. And it was a different feeling that they had. And we could also just say, if you look, perhaps it was a chronological thing. Maybe when they started, as Nachshon was going in, and the first people were heading in, perhaps they were saying, whoa, we are in the middle of the Yam. Ha, but Baruch Hashem, we can breathe. Hashem is still giving us the air, the Yabasha. But as they kept walking, and they felt more comfortable, and they got acclimated to their nais around them, they had a different type of feeling. They felt, wow, we're the Yabasha. Where is this Yabasha? The Sochayam. Right? I think I was told, I don't really know for sure, but there's more water in this world than there's land. So do we feel like, wow, we're in the middle of the water on dry land? Or no, we're like, we're in dry land surrounded by water. The truth is, if the majority of the world is water, so we're really, whoa, we're in the middle of water, but we're in dry land. We don't feel like that. We feel we're very comfortable. We're on dry land. Happens to be this dry land is the middle of the water. So Rav Moshe was pointing out these two different feelings. And that's what was going on at the Klal Yisrael in the Yam Suf. I am done. As far as tomorrow, I'm tomorrow, same time. During Pesach, I'm on vacation. After Pesach, if there are enough people besides my family that want me to continue, then we will discuss that. All right, so have a wonderful night. I'll see you all tomorrow in Mitzvah Shem. Goodbye.